Trake, then just take him home. Shortly after that, he went on to be with Jesus. But we need to pray for Julie. She's her father passed. Her mother also has COVID and is in the hospital. Her twin sister has some physical needs herself. And so she's now taking care of, helping to minister to her sister, trying to take care of all the family stuff. And she herself has COVID. And so we just need to lift people up and pray for them. I know many of you have been through this virus already. And some of you it hit harder than others, but it's a rough thing. And so it gets in your body, but it can get in your spirit too. And so we want to lift these people up, and we want her to know that we're praying for her. And we're praying for Sister Carolyn Wall, who is also in the hospital, not with COVID, but she's in the hospital battling her own battle. And God is touching her and moving in her life. And we want her to know we're lifting her up in prayer as well. And you could be seated, and thank you today. Singers, praise singers, musicians, don't they do a great job of leading us into the presence of the Lord always? We sure appreciate them. Amen. And don't go too far away, because I'm not going to preach very long. The psalmist said in chapter 121 that I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Everybody just kind of look up for a minute, would you? I know it's the ceiling, it's not hills, but why don't you look up in the upward direction where your help comes from? Too many times we're looking down. One of the things that I hate about these phones is we're always looking like this, you know? And it reminds me of the woman that Jesus healed that was bowed over. Sometimes that's the way we look, you know? We go to the restaurant and my grandkids or the waitress says, what do you want? And they're like this. I'm like, get off that phone and look them in the eye and tell them what you want. Anybody else that way? They don't listen, but I talk to them that way. So sometimes we need to lift up our eyes. Amen. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Everybody say, my help. I'm talking to you today about my help. Your help cometh from the Lord. The psalmist says, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Let me ask you this. If the one who made heaven and earth simply by speaking, let there be, and there was, said, let there be a sun, and there it was. Let there be a moon, and there it was. Let there be water, there it was. Let the waters be divided, and it happened. Let there be trees, and there were trees. Let there be sea creatures and bears and all the, if he just spoke it and it happened, if he's the one who is your help, then what could come against you that your help could not help you through? What could come against you if the creator of the universe is your help? I submit to you, there is no problem too big. There is no sickness too great. There is no trial that can overcome somebody whose help is the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. He made heaven and earth. You can't top that. Amen. Now, if somebody here says they're going to help you, you're going to be limited because they're only able to help you as much as they're able to help you. I told them this morning, if you asked me to help you when I was 20, maybe to help you move, that would mean something. My 30s, a little less. I'm 53. Now I just pray for you. Help them move, Lord. Amen. But God's strength never wanes. If he's your help, he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's just as powerful today as when he spoke this world into existence. And when you call on him, he shows up in a mighty way. Verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Aren't you glad for the preservation power of the Lord? The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:1, it's a familiar scripture. We read it often and probably need to read it more and more often as the rapture gets closer and closer. But Paul said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he goes on then to list for us those perils. the times, what they would be. What does that mean? He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They would be unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. And so, church, I would tell you today, I don't have to tell you that we are not waiting on any of those things to come to fulfillment. In fact, we see it on a daily, anymore, almost on an hourly basis, maybe minute by minute, we see these things coming to pass. In fact, I believe without a doubt in my mind that we are right now in those last days that Paul is writing about, in the last days. Have I got any believers that believe that we're running out of time? Jesus is about to come. If we're going to do something, we better do it quickly. And if you're listening to me this morning and you're not yet in the church, you need to run and not walk to the church. And you need to fall at an altar and get ready, because we are in the last days. Perilous times, he said, would come, and they are in fact upon us. We live in those perilous times, troublesome times, aren't they? Threatening times and dangerous times. We live in them right now. Everywhere you look, you see it. Everywhere you look, you see depression. Everywhere you look, you see sickness. Everywhere we monitor, we see marital issues and problems, and familial issues and problems, and family units and homes breaking up, and money issues, people having trouble with money, going broke, not just in families, but even in financial networks breaking up. Everywhere, rampant sin abounding, and the repercussions of those sins. We see it everywhere. Where we look, you don't have to look for it. It's everywhere. It is pervasive. It is prevalent. It is everywhere we look. Amen. Amen. Our world reeks of it. It's saturated in it. It's in our faces, literally everywhere we turn. And the world is in a whirlwind. Do you sense that? A whirlwind. Nobody seems to quite know exactly what to do. Ask one group and they say do this, and another group, we can't even agree on how to handle the pandemic. We can't agree on politics. We can't agree on the way to run our finances. We can't agree. We are divided. I don't just mean our nation, but our world. We are in perilous times. We're not waiting on them to come. They are here. But I came today, I didn't come with a message of discouragement. I really did come with a message of encouragement. I came today with a message of hope, not despair. I came with a message of encouragement and not discouragement, because our text says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. We could spend all day talking about and looking at all the problems, and our world is problematic, and we could spend all day looking at the problems and the troubles and the perils of our time, but I don't have to do that. You don't need me to point those out to you, but every once in a while we need a preacher to get in the pulpit and remind us that we need to lift up our eyes. Get out of the news, get out of Facebook, get out of the newspaper, and lift up our eyes to where our help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord. Somebody say, my help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. The Bible says your help, your help. I'm not talking about somebody else's help right now. Your help. We all need our individual, unique help sometimes, don't we? Things I'm going through aren't the same things you're always going through. We've got people in this room. I could go around the whole room and point out, I know you're going through this, and you're just coming through that, and you're dealing with this, and I know some of y'all's business, not everybody's, but I know some of the junk you're going through right now and dealing with. You need a healing in your spirit. So we got a lady in this room right now whose son, she just lost her son to murder weeks ago, and she's trying to heal from that. God's helping her and moving, but I don't think there's anybody else in the room that's healing from that right now, but that's what her help today. Her help. God is helping her go through this and sort through this. And I'm glad to see you here for the second time today. I'm glad you came back, sister, because God is working in your life and moving and helping you and healing you. My help, devil, you can't steal my joy when I've got my help coming from the Lord. You can't knock me down and keep me down when my help cometh from the Lord. I've got a helper in time of need. He made the heaven and the earth, and he's going to help me through this situation. Somebody shout amen. I know some of you, you got your own unique problems and troubles. And so I'm preaching to you today about your help cometh from the Lord. I gave this example this morning. I think it worked pretty good. So let me give it again. I'm glad all this snow turned into rain, by the way. And we got to church today. If that had stayed snow, I don't know that we would have even been able to see at our windows, perhaps. But thank God it turned into rain. But think about this with me. If we had a 2 or 3 feet of snow out there in the on the roads and in your driveway, and then you woke up this morning, Brother Worthen, you woke up and saw a truck, a pickup truck with a plow on the front of that truck, and he's out there just plowing your drive, wouldn't that be a blessing? Just plowing your drive. You don't have to shovel snow. And you would go out there, and that truck has the name on the side, John's Plowing Service. And you would go out there and say, hey, sir, let me talk to you a minute. And he'd roll his window down. And you'd say, I didn't order anybody to come and plow my drive. I don't know what's going on. And he might say, well, my name's Fred. And John, the guy whose name is on the truck, John, the owner of this company, he radioed me and dispatched me to come to your house because he wants to bless you with a free snow plow today. And I'm sure you would say, well, thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah. You wouldn't run him off, would you? But you might say, thank you, Fred, because Fred's driving the truck. But then you're going to rush right in and get on your telephone. Who are you going to call? You're going to call John, because Fred's just doing what John told him to do. John's the owner of the company. John decided to bless you. John told Fred, go down there and plow that drive on Red Hill Road. Thank you. You all know where he lives too, don't you? And so you're not going to, you might thank Fred, but you're really going to thank John. Fred says, the owner told me, John told me to do it. He wants to bless you. So you're going to tell Fred, thanks, but you're going to get on the phone. You're going to call John. And when you talk about it later, and when you post about it later, and when you reminisce about it later, when you write about it later, Fred's name may come into the conversation, but maybe not, because Fred was ordered by John. It was John's employee in John's truck with John's equipment and John's supplies on John's time, on John's payroll. You get the picture. Fred was a resource that John simply used. He was one of the pieces of the blessing. You don't say, Fred blessed me. You would say, John blessed me. I'm talking to you today about your help. And it may look like when you're in Egypt for 430 years that Pharaoh was the source of your blessing, because Pharaoh was feeding you and housing you and clothing you. But God would have you know it was not Pharaoh who was the source of your help. I was simply using Pharaoh as a conduit through which to get my blessings to you. I kept you alive in a slave nation for 400 years. It wasn't Pharaoh's blessing. It was me. I was your help. And so when God would bring them out of Egypt, they would look back to Pharaoh and say, well, at least Pharaoh, at least in Egypt. So God would kill Pharaoh in their presence to instill in their hearts, you don't need Pharaoh and I don't need Pharaoh. When I'm ready to bless you, I can find a brand new resource. I've been the source of your blessing all along. Amen. It may look like I'm being sustained by ravens, because the ravens are flying with meat and bread, and they're dropping it down as I'm being kept by the Lord, by the brook Cherith right now during this drought and this famine. But God would remind me when the brook dries up, come on somebody, and that prophet realized these ravens aren't coming back. So it wasn't the ravens. You might say thanks to the ravens, but you're really thankful to God. Who dispatched the ravens? God. So my help doesn't come from the ravens. My help comes from the Lord. I'm simply pointing out to you your help. It may look like IU is blessing you, or Cook is blessing you, or the community bank, or wherever you may work is blessing you, because that's the name on the check. Maybe you think your boss or the owner is blessing you because he's signing the check. And yes, be thankful to them, be loyal to them, but more than being thankful to them, be thankful for them, because just like Fred is the one doing the plowing and not the source, that's John. Your employer is plowing your drive at the command of your God. Your help doesn't come from your boss. It doesn't come from your company. Your help cometh from the Lord. And if that resource dries up, come on, somebody, God will find another way to get it to you. He will bless you. He is your help. Somebody say hallelujah. Let me take it just a little bit farther for you. If Fred quits John snow plowing business, does that mean you're never going to get another free snow plow? Why not? Fred wasn't the owner anyway. You know what? Fred might have come down there with an attitude. When the boss said, go down there and plow Steve Worthen's drive, Fred might have got off the radio and said, I don't want to go down there. Free job, not even getting anything for it, probably won't even tip me, you know. And he might have pulled in there all disgruntled and mad, but did it matter? You still got your snow plowed. I'm just telling you, you might work for some unsavory characters. You might work for some people with attitudes. There might be, have you ever been blessed by somebody that you could tell they didn't even care if you were blessed or not? Don't worry about Fred. Be thankful for John. Don't worry about the one who shows up with it in the hand. The ravens will come and go. Fred will come and go. But God is your help. God is your help, and God's hand is not short. His promises are not slack. If he did it yesterday, he can do it all over again today. And if Fred quits, John's just going to hire somebody else, and Bob will hop in the truck, and Bob will drive down to your road. Why? Because John's calling the shots. I'm telling you, your God is calling the shots. And when he wants to bless you, he will find new and unique ways to bless his people. David said, I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the right is forsaken, never seen his seed begging bread. God's going to take care of his people. I don't know what's going to come upon this earth. I don't know everything we might face, but I do know this. God is going to take care of his people. God is going to see his people through. God will not let us fail. I preached last week about we're in an unstoppable kingdom, the kingdom of God. Psalm 46:1, listen to this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. I love that term, very present. Would you say that? Very present. You ever have anybody help you that when you turned around, when you really need them? I use this example. When I was a kid, my dad used to have me hold the light when he's doing jobs, and some of those jobs were very boring. Because when you're 8, 9, 10, you don't understand a transmission in a car. You're just holding the light. And Dad's under there. He understands all the gears and all the mechanisms, and this bolt holds this together. He's trying to, and he just needs me to hold the light. What he might say, I remember times like this. I'm going to need you in a minute. His minutes were kind of like preacher minutes, you know. I'm going to need you in a minute. And about a half hour later, he'd be like, hey, where you at? Because I got bored after 5 minutes of not having to hold the light. So I'm over here. I'm playing over here with the vice, you know. Or I'm over here. I'm playing with something over here on the workbench. I've found me some hammer and nails to play with. I'm over here. And my point is, I just wasn't a very present help. I was help. He had to look for me. You've had helpers like that. When it was time, you had to, where'd you go? But the Bible says, I like this phrase. He's a very present help. You can't shake him. He's right with you everywhere you go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I can't get away from him. He's so very present everywhere I go. David said, I could go up to heaven and there you are. I make my bed in hell and there you are. I go as far east as I can go, far west as I can go, ascend up on the wings of birds. There you are. I can't go anywhere. I'm telling you, he is a very present help in time of need. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Very present, very, very present. I've discovered this many times in my life. There have been times in my life where I would have been dead like that. I remember one in particular time when my wife and I, she wasn't even my wife yet, we were just dating, and I was a very experienced driver like I am now. You know, I'm a very good driver now, but back then I wasn't a very good driver. We popped up over a hill on some wet roads, and there's a 90-degree curve I didn't know about. And all I could do was cut the wheel and say, Jesus. And before I could get the second syllable of Jesus out of my mouth, Jesus was there. You remember that? And I was driving a little Volkswagen Beetle. I showed Mason a picture of these cars the other day that they turned into a Baja. You remember Bajas? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Fiberglass wheel wells and the big wheels and the pipe sticking out of the back. And mine, all the kids thought it was cool, but what it really was a mechanical problem. Every time I would clutch, a fire would blow out out of the pipe. And my wife's youngest brother thought that was so cool. He would sit in the back seat facing the back waiting for me to shift gears. And every time it would blow fire out. What was really needed, a valve job is what it needed, but it was kind of cool. Anyway, that's what we were in. No heat. Remember anybody ever driving a Volkswagen Beetle? They had manifold heat. I'm going to go down a rabbit trail here, but no forced heat. It was all whatever might make it from the back. The engine was in the back, might come up under your feet, but you were going to freeze to death if it was very cold out. But also, they didn't have anti-lock brakes. They didn't have, they didn't have all that help. They didn't have power steering. You just had to know how to drive. And I didn't know how to drive, and here I am facing a 90-degree curve on wet roads, and I just cut the wheels and said, Jesus, and we ran off the road, and when that car came to a stop this far, I saw that front fiberglass fender. What do we call those? Wheel wells, fenders? What are they? Fenders? Fenders? Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say fenders. I saw that, because it was flexible, bend around the telephone pole that we came that close to just hitting head on. It bent around it and popped back out, and we came to a stop right there by the pole, and then that little wire that comes down from the pole, we were sitting between it. And I just got Jesus out of my mouth, and he was there. I could tell you story after story like that, because it took me a long time to learn how to drive. But you go skidding out of control on ice or snow, and you say, Jesus. First wreck I ever had was in my very first car I ever had. It was an old 69 Pontiac Grand Prix. It's a big car, and somebody turned it into look like a hot rod, and it was just junk. But I was on some snowy roads, and I really wasn't gunning it. I wasn't showboating. This was before my wife and I started dating, and I was taking a young lady from work. She was just a friend, but I was taking her just about two blocks in Linton, lived in Linton, worked at the Long John Silver's in Linton. We both got off work at the same time, and she said, could you give me a ride home? And she lived literally two or three blocks from the restaurant, so we took the quickest route, which was a back way, rear-wheel drive, big tires, no traction, and that thing started to fishtail, and I did everything I knew to do, but still went right into a tree, bam, messed up my new car, or not new, it was new to me, and but she told me, the girl that was with me later, by the way, she ended up marrying the pastor's son, where I went to church later, and she got in church. But anyway, she told me later what she wrote in her diary. She said, Ron said Jesus, and I said, and I won't tell you what she said. She said, but Ron said Jesus. And the Lord kept his hand on her. Now, she said, she ended up with a big bump on her head, and I ended up with nothing. So I said, see there, you need to say Jesus next time. Or not ride with me anymore, maybe. He's a very present help. Aren't you glad? You've been there. You've been there many, many times. You needed to pray for your kids, and all you could do is ask Jesus. Lord, there's no doctors open right now. I just need you, Jesus. Job situation, I need you, Jesus. You wake up in the middle of the night and heart beating out of your chest, I need you, Jesus. There's just times where, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. And aren't you glad for a very present help? Very present help. Very present help. He's right there. He's never busy. He's never too busy. You never get a busy signal. You never get a deaf ear. He's a very present help in troublesome times. He's very present help. When you don't know what's going to happen on your job, he's a very present help. In times of sickness, he's a very present help. When your marriage is going through some problems, he's a very present help. When you lose somebody in your family, aren't you glad he's very present help? In turmoil, family problems. He's a very present help. When you have an addiction and you've tried over and over and over again, and then you just say, Jesus, I need you. He's a very present help. When you're dealing with depression, when you're dealing with anxiety, when you're dealing with fear, he's a very present help in time of need. And in fact, let me just say it this way. There is no problem, no problem that he can't solve. If you need salvation, he's a very present help. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a very present help. Wherever you are right now, if you would call out to the Lord, you say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I need Jesus in my life. Listen, he's very present. You may feel like he's far. I've said it this way. There's been times he had to look for me because I wandered off, but I've never had to look for him. He's always very present, Brother Deckard. He's been there, never left me, never forsaken me. He's always there. And I'm telling you, if you would call out to him right now and ask him to forgive you of your sins, he will do it. He's right there. If you ask him to help you and save you, he'll do it. He's right there. And I'll close with this scripture. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all, everybody say all, to comfort all that mourn. Wow, what a great word, all that mourn. I'm so glad that doesn't say some that mourn or the ones that are really mourning, but all that mourn, he's come to comfort you. Watch this, verse 3, to appoint. That word appoint means to console. Look it up. It means console them that mourn in Zion. He is your consolation. I'm so glad we serve a God who does not kick us when we're down and tell us to get up and take care of yourself. Pull yourself up. Come on, take it. He consoles us. When we're mourning, he's not telling you, come on, you've mourned long. He's consoling you. He's very present. He's there to help you. He consoles them that mourn. Now watch this, to give unto them beauty, everybody say for ashes. The oil of joy, everybody say for mourning. The garment of praise, come on, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God laid this scripture on my heart just last night as I was kind of finishing up my thoughts for today. And this particular verse 3, this particular verse really, really stood out to me. And the Lord showed me this. The word for. God said, tell them they've got to be willing to trade. God is really saying, I'll give you this for that. Now, look at it again. He'll give you beauty, but you got to be willing to give up the ashes. He'll give you the oil of joy. Aren't you glad for joy? It's kind of like, I used Brother Gunderman this morning, Brother Worthen, so I'll use you today, but you got your car keys there on you, but there you go. Take hers. It's just an example. I don't need your car. But if I said to you, maybe you're driving just an old, 35-year-old clunker, not an antique, all fixed up, but just a clunker, and it's on its last leg. And I said, Brother Worthen, I've got the keys to a brand new Cadillac. It's sitting right out front here. But I want to give you the Cadillac for your old jalopy. What that means is you've got to be willing to release your keys. I'll give you this, but I want that. This is what the Lord's saying. Now, if you're not willing, but I just really like my old jalopy, Lord. Well, you don't get the new Cadillac. He didn't say he's going to cover your ashes. He didn't say he's going to cover your mourning. He didn't say he's going to cover those things. He said he's going to give you this for that. Now, what the Lord really spoke to me about is that phrase there about the spirit of heaviness. Would you stand? The spirit of heaviness is something that has attacked the world in the past several months. It's tried to make its way into the church. And so today we deal with things like masks and protocols, distancing, and can't see this person. Can you imagine your father passing away at 5 a.m. and you can't be there with him? These things come at us. They weigh on us. And if we're not careful, we get this spirit of heaviness. What is that? Think about that heaviness. I know one thing. When I put on so much weight this past year, and I'm trying to get it off. I don't like it. I do not. But I can tell you as a person from perspective, I've weighed more, and then I've weighed less, and then I've weighed more, and then I've weighed less, and now I weigh more. And I can tell you, when I weigh less, I get up a lot easier. When I wake up, I'm ready to jump up. When I weigh kind of what I do right now, I have to really talk myself into getting up. You can do it, you know. Come on, give it your best shot. And going from point A to B, when I'm lighter, I just sprint sometimes. I feel like I'm just ready to move. When I'm heavier, it takes me a while. It's heaviness. Even when I'm trying to jump for joy, it's like, I'm not getting up as high as I used to. That's not just age. That's also 30 pounds will weigh you down. So, think of a spirit of heaviness. We should be light. We should be able to move. We should be able to leap for joy and worship the Lord and praise God and sing the songs of Zion and have joy in our hearts and anointing and helping people and blessing people. But a spirit of heaviness will just make you a little groggy, makes you a little, you just kind of get complacent, apathetic. We should be springing into action, and we're just slowed down. And it's not that we're just in sin. It's just that the Lord said there's a spirit of heaviness that's tried to attack the church. I want to ask you today, as we sing this song, if you wouldn't just go ahead and make a trade and just give that to the Lord and see if he would not give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Come on, why don't you release that to the Lord? Lord, right now, God, I let go of all the heaviness. I let go of all the things that have tried to weigh me down, things that are trying to stress me out. Lord, I release it to you in the name of Jesus. God, it's yours. Lord, I believe you're going to give me a spirit, a garment of praise. We're going to praise you, Jesus. We're going to praise you, Lord, because you're worthy, Lord. Praise him now. Come on. Yes. There's power in his presence. There's anointing in his presence. There's healing in his presence. Come on, that's it. Just soak it up. Come on, I believe God wants to saturate you today with fresh anointing, fresh power, fresh vision, fresh strength. I receive it in the name of Jesus, Lord.